with God's kind of love, right? Y'all laughing, y'all like, yeah, we're the only ones. He's good, amen, all the time. So, y'all know what we're talking about, right? We're still talking about God's word as seed, and we've been talking about the good ground. And I think maybe the last two, maybe, services that I did, we was talking about patience. And we're still on that, but we're going to take a little twist this morning. So, if you got your Bible, let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Let's see here. Well, you can hold your place there if you already got there. Let's go to Ephesians 6 first. I got a lot of scripture and notes and things, but we're just going to be led what direction this goes in. I just work here. Verse 10, he says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. He said, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. That word wiles means traps, tricks, snares, temptations, you name it, it means it. It says, of the devil, for we wrestle not against what? Flesh and blood. This is one of the hardest lessons you'll have to learn. Because when you got people and things coming at you sideways, I see your eyes, Sandy. I see your face, Samantha, or whoever the case may be. But how many knows you're not the one, or I'm not the one, that we should be wrestling against? He says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, people. He says, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. He says, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, he goes on in 14 and says, stand therefore, and then starts talking about the armor. But I want to read verse 12 in the Amplified. He says, for we are not wrestling with flesh and blood, contending only with physical opponents, but against the despotisms, against the powers, against the master spirits, who are the world rulers of this present darkness, against the spirit forces of wickedness in heavenly places, or heaven supernatural fear. Now go over to 2 Corinthians 2. People's never your problem. But at any time, anybody that will yield, that will be tricked into it, pried into it, however they got into it, can be used and yielded to the devil at any time. Whether you're saved or whether you're lost. Right? And there's nothing worse than to be a Christian and know that you've been used by the devil. But here in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 10, this is the Apostle Paul talking. And what the thing was here, they had a problem in the church. A guy had sinned, you know, and they kind of not excommunicated him. But anyway, he's telling them, you know, okay, forgive him, bring him back in, all that. We pick it up in verse 10. It says, to whom you forgive anything, I forgive also. For if I forgave anything, to whom I forgave it, for your sakes forgave I it in the person of Christ. Notice this, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Now, we just got through reading about the devil, his devices, the wiles, the principalities, and all that. The Amplified Bible says, if you forgive anything, I too forgive that one. And what I have forgiven, if I have forgiven anything, has been for your sakes in the presence and with the approval of Christ the Messiah. Notice, to keep Satan from getting the advantage over us. For we are not ignorant of his wiles and his intentions. Oh, but he's hoping you are. But the Bible says that we're not, right? And anything, the Bible also says that we have an anointing and we know all things. That doesn't mean that in my head I know all things. But in my spirit, and the Spirit of the Lord lives on the inside here. And anything I don't know, he reveals if I want to know. The Bible talks about how that in Proverbs that the wicked, they set a trap and a snare for the righteous. But how many knows the Holy Ghost will lead you around it? And the Bible says the wicked fall in it instead of the righteous. Amen? Let me see what I got right here. Let's go to, I think I want to go to Luke 19. I got to lay a little bit groundwork before we really get into what I want to talk about. That's not right. Well, I must have wrote that down wrong. Let me look here. Let's go over to Matthew 13. I must have wrote that Luke 19 down wrong. Some of y'all may know it whenever I say it, the one that I'm looking for. I thought it was Luke 19, 13, but I must have wrote it down wrong. But Jesus said, was telling them about he's going to go away and all this stuff, and he says, but you occupy until I come. Now, the word occupy, I looked it up. It says to busy oneself with, to trade. I put in other words, be about the Father's business. So here in Matthew 13, now this is the parable that we've been reading. We're not going to read this whole thing. We're going to read starting here in verse 18. He says, hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside. But he that received the seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it, yet hath he not root in himself, but endureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, by and by he is offended. Then he goes on, talks about the thorny ground, then he talks about the good ground. But notice that verse 21, I want to read it in the Amplified. It says, yet it has no real root in him, but is temporary. Inconstant, lasts but a little while, and when affliction or trouble or persecution comes on account of the word, at once he is caused to stumble. He is repelled and begins to distrust and desert him who he ought to trust and obey, and he falls away. Now look at Hebrews 12. Don't think just because we're over to the good ground and we're operating in our patience now that you don't still got all this stuff coming at you. The only reason why you made it this far is because you made the adjustments in the things that came, and you did not become the stony ground. You did not become the wayside ground. You didn't become the thorny ground. But it's still coming at you. What did I tell you? Hebrews 12? I'm going to start reading in verse 14. He says, follow peace with all men, and this is just for time's sake, and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord, looking diligently lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. I'm going to read it in Amplified. 14, strive to live in peace with everybody, and pursue that consecration and holiness without which no one will ever see the Lord. Exercise foresight and be on the watch to look after one another, to see that no one falls back from and fails to secure God's grace, his unmerited favor and spiritual blessings, in order that no root of resentment, rancor, bitterness, or hatred shoots forth and causes trouble and bitter torment, and the many become contaminated and defiled by it. Now, we've been talking about God's word as seed, right? Did y'all catch that, what this said? It didn't say that no seed of bitterness get in you. That stuck out to me. I thought, God, we've been talking about seed. Everything has seed. But he says here that you don't let a root of bitterness get on the inside of you. Why? Because if you do, it's going to bear fruit. And in the thorny ground, guess what happens? Thorny ground, whatever gets in there, you can't get the word out, so you got to choke it. And what a root of bitterness is going to do is it's going to spring up and it's going to choke whatever you got growing in there. But then let's look at Deuteronomy 29. going to show you what that root of bitterness brings, what its fruit is. Deuteronomy 29, for time's sake, we're just going to read verse 18. He says, lest there should be among you man or woman or family or tribe whose heart turneth away this day from the Lord our God to go and serve the gods of these nations, lest there should be among you a root that beareth gall and wormwood. Now, chapter 32, these are direct cross references from the scriptures we just read. Deuteronomy 32, verse 32. He says, for their vine, talking about that root of bitterness, is of the vine of Sodom and of the fields of Gomorrah. Their grapes are grapes of gall. Now he's not talking about seed. He's not talking about a root. Now he's talking about what that root of bitterness sprung up and the fruit that come. It says, their grapes are grapes of gall. Their clusters are bitter. 32 in the Amplified, for their vine comes from the vine of Sodom and from the fields of Gomorrah. Their grapes are grapes of poisonous gall. Their clusters are bitter. Now see, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. And the thing about the devil is, he doesn't know everything. But how many knows the Apostle Paul? In one place he wrote, I think over there in Ephesians 6, and he told him, he said, pray for me. He says, for a wide door of opportunity, God has opened to me to minister the gospel. He says, but with it what? Y'all don't remember? Many adversaries. See, in the book of Revelation, God says, I open doors that no man can shut, and I shut doors no man can open. How many knows all these things that we're going through, these trials, these tests, these temptations and different things, the devil means them to destroy us. God means for them to take us higher. Because in God, there is no place that is there. What I mean by that is there's no level that you attain to, and that's the end of it. The Apostle Paul, he said, he called it pressing upward. For the upward call, right? We're always pressing because there's no plateau or no place in the kingdom of God that we get to that we have arrived and we have made it. So therefore, we've always got to be going higher. And the thing about it is, before you get through the door that God has opened, y'all better hear me, there's a devil standing there and he says, you're not going in. And it usually comes through a person. Y'all not saying nothing. It usually comes through a person. And if the devil cannot get you to yield to him in your thoughts, in your words, in your actions, if he can't get you out into a wrong spirit or anything like that, guess what he does? He comes to the ones that you love and care about the most. Why? Can't nobody hurt me if I don't love you. Can't nobody bother me if I don't care about your opinion of me. Right? So that's exactly what he does. Husbands with wives, wives with husbands, kids, whatever, co-worker, whatever that it is. That's exactly what he will do. Why? Because the devil's like a terrorist. The number one thing that a terrorist wants to do is, first of all, strike fear. And the second is to kill, steal, and destroy as many and as much as possible. And you better believe there has never been a bigger terrorist, cruelest person than the devil himself. Where do you think the terrorists in this world got their ideas from? Him. Right now, today, somewhere in this world, somebody is having to make a choice between their God and their kid because their kid's head's about to be cut off. Y'all not saying nothing. Just read the news or listen to the news. It's happening all the time. Maybe not right here, but over in other countries, and it's coming here. So what's the devil say? He says, you're not coming in. So what's he do? He gets somebody, if he can. And like I said, it is whoever will yield to him. It doesn't matter to him. He's just looking for an opportunity to do what he does. Why? To stop you from going through that door. Why? Because with that door is wide opportunities for the kingdom of God to tear up his kingdom. Right? The gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. And anyway, he says, you're not going in. You're not getting in here. God says, I've already opened the door, but guess what? Now you got to fight your way through it. Now he's already defeated the devil. All demons, principalities, all of them, they're already all defeated. He's already defeated them, but guess what? Now I am supposed to, you are supposed to, take his defeat and enforce it. And you make him move. You make him leave, right? And then you come up to the next level and so forth and so on. We just keep growing and growing and going through the doors and going through the doors. Now, trying to figure out where I want to go with this. Cause let's look at Luke 17. Get into what I'm fixing to say. Listen, I probably have been used more by the devil as a Christian than anybody in here. You say, sister, but you're the teacher. I don't care. I'm the teacher because I'm called to be the teacher. That's the only reason. It's not because I know everything and do everything right all the time. It's just the call of God. That's my place. Right? So what do I mean by that? I was kind of like a puppet on a string for the devil anytime he wanted. Let me explain what I mean by that. All of my life, I had a problem, and y'all have all heard the stories and all that about anger. I did try to have anger. I tried not to be angry and all that stuff. I tried not to yield to that. When it would come, you know, something would come that I didn't like or I got mad or whatever, I would just yield to the devil and just do whatever. I mean, it's kind of like sometimes I just ain't. It's you flip a switch. Y'all ever watch that movie Over the Top? Where Stallone, he's got his hat on and he's an arm wrestler. And when he goes to arm wrestle, he takes his hat and he turns it around. He becomes a different person. That's kind of the way that I was. And so anytime he wanted me, all he had to do was get somebody to entice me. Y'all not saying nothing. Get somebody to rub me the wrong way. And they might not even be doing anything. Just give me the thought they coming at me sideways. Just give me the thought you're not going to treat me like this. Just give me the thought I'm still here. Y'all know what I'm saying? And so I guess probably now, a little over a year ago, I got so sick and tired of that. Because you are a miserable Christian. Anger and joy just don't go together. Hatred and love just don't go together. And I got so sick and tired of that, so I told the Lord, I said, God, I am sorry. If you will help me, and I know you will help me, I will never yield to this anger to the point to where I'm. Now, have I felt anger? Oh, yes. Could I have done a little better? I'm sure I could. But have I yielded to anger to the point of being out of control like before? No. Everybody still got their eyeballs in their hair. I still got my coffee table. Well, not my coffee table. Broke it a long time ago. Anyway, the furniture that I had a year before, I still got all of it. And the glasses, I remember my stepdad, when he wasn't my stepdad, Mama brought him over to meet us. They was dating, and he was going to get something to drink. And so I fixed him something to drink and had these big Dollar General plastic glasses. I think it's four for a dollar or something then. And I handed it to him. I said, here, I said, I'm sorry, we ain't got no glasses, but they break when you throw them. And he's just like, well, okay. I did not have one glass in my house. Y'all better hear what I'm telling you. And that is a miserable place to be in. That you are a child of God and you love God in your heart. But you have just yielded so much and for so long to that to where it's not even a thought. You just go. But I can tell you it has been a long time. Around a year, probably over. Now, why would I say all that? Because, see, it doesn't matter. Everybody got an issue somewhere, and the devil knows exactly where your button is. Y'all not saying nothing. Oh, I don't got no. Oh, I bet you do. We might not can all see your issue, but you got one. And God and the devil knows exactly where it's at. And God wants us to overcome that to where we're not just like he's throwing out lures, you know, for bass bait or whatever, and we just bite it, hook, line, and sinker, and go. Amen? He doesn't have that kind of authority over us. So here in Luke chapter 17, in verse 1, it says that this is Jesus talking. Then said he unto his disciples, it is impossible but that offenses will come. Now the Amplified Bible says it this way. And Jesus said to his disciples, temptations, snares, traps, set to entice to sin. Most time, I'm just going to use me for an example. When I have read that before, most of the time, I don't know why, I thought about smoking, drinking, adultery, things like that. But you know what I saw? Temper, ill will, anger, hatred, resentment, when I read this enticement to sin, are sure to come. In other words, you're not going to get out of this life without offenses coming to you. He says, but woe to him by who, through, or through whom they come. It would be, this is amplified, it would be more profitable for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were hurled into the sea than that he should cause to sin or be a snare to one of these little ones, lowly in rank or influence. He says, pay attention and always be on your guard, looking out for one another. If your brother sins, misses the mark, solemnly tell him so and reprove him. And if he repents, feels sorry for having sinned, forgive him. And even if he sins against you 7 times in a day, y'all not saying nothing. 7 times in a day. Listen, dude, the first 3 times you've done it, I forgave you, but this 4th, I don't think you're sorry. How many knows? I can't tell if you're sorry or not, because I don't live inside of you, but God does. He knows whether you're really sorry or not. And even if he sins against you 7 times in one day and turns to you 7 times and says, I repent, I am sorry, you must forgive him, give up resentment, and consider the offense as recalled and annulled. Now, the next verse, we're not going to read it, but the next thing, they start talking, Lord, increase our faith. I know how you feel, Peter. They start want to change the subject. Okay, God, if we got to do this, increase our faith because I'm going to need it. He didn't say I need to increase your faith. Use what you got. He says, but any time that they offend you or offenses come, see, sometimes the offense is in your own head. You're not saying nothing. Because you're thinking wrong, you're in your emotions, and they're not right. Nobody knows what's on the inside of me but God. Now, you can see my fruit, hear my words, see the countenance of my face or whatever, right? But only he knows the heart. And he's telling them here, it don't matter how many times the offense comes to you, what do? You forgive them. If they're sorry, you forgive them. And if they're not sorry, you don't hold on to that bitterness and a grudge and resentment. Bless God, I tell you right now, I'm not going to have nothing to do with you until you tell me you're sorry. You're done in a wrong spirit already. Now, I have had some things happen this week. That's why I said, it's been a week. I'm going to tell you just a few things. Not because I want you to know my business, because I really don't. But a lot of times God uses my business for teaching purposes because I don't know anything else except what he does in my life and whatever he shows me. Excuse me. Y'all know my sister's in the hospital, And she's had medical issues for, gosh, I don't know, probably late 20s, early 30s. Different stuff, you know. And anyway, and we're believing God for her healing and all that. But anyway, she's in the hospital. And she had sent me a text, and I'm like, what's up with this? Anyway, I'm not going to tell you what it said, because that's not the point. Then I call, Mama had sent me a text telling me she's in the hospital, so then I call my brother-in-law, my sister's husband, and he tells me that the doctors and Aniana, they're sending her to Birmingham because she's got pneumonia, and they found some kind of mass in her lungs overshadowing her heart, and they think it's cancer. And so they're sending her to Birmingham, impossible biopsy and all this. Now, my first initial thought when I heard this was, because, see, I know the shape she's physically in right now. My first thought was, God, she's not going to make it. There's no way she can physically make it through this. Fear tried to, I told you the devil's a terrorist. So the first thing he tried to do was for me to hear that word. Faith comes by how? Hearing, and hearing by the word. Fear comes how? Same way, just the opposite words. So when I heard that, my first initial thought was, God, she's not going to make it because her body physically just cannot go through no chemotherapy, surgeries, and all that kind of stuff. But I got a hold of myself, and I told the Lord, I said, okay, God, I'm going to stand on your word according to Isaiah 53, verses 1 through 5, that she's healed. But then the next thing, that came out of my mouth, but then the next thing that I did was I looked in here. God, what are you saying? See, I don't know the future unless he tells me. I don't know what to do unless he tells me. Now, I take a stand on his word, right? We always believe his word. But now, if he tells me something different or a different word for the stand, whatever he tells me, that's what I do. So when I looked in here, I heard the Lord say this to me, in here. Y'all remember, I'm trying to think, who was it now? Elijah. The whirlwind came, God wasn't in it. All this stuff came, God wasn't in it. But he had a still, small voice. That's what I had in here. Almost kind of like an intuition or an impression that if I had not been sensitive, I would have just overlooked it as my own thinking or whatever. But anyway, I heard the Lord say, it is not like what they're saying it is, and all is well. So I said, thank you, Lord. According to Isaiah 53, 1 through 5, Lord, she's healed, and she's this, and she's that. And God, you said it is not what they're saying, and all is well. Well, lo and behold, a couple days later, I hear, it is not what they said. It is not cancer. Now they think it's just staph infection in her lungs, you know, and stuff like that. Well, then lo and behold, Friday, somebody tells me that she coded Thursday. Y'all know what coded means, right? I thought all is well. It is. You better hear what I'm telling you. Whatever he says, don't move. Don't get out of love. Why? Faith works by love. That's why this stuff comes, to get me out of love. Because see, the Bible says God is love. And if I'm in God, then I got to be in love. And if God is in me, then I got to be in love, right? Whatever the cost, it's not worth it. It's not worth it to fuss and fight and argue, because you're not my problem anyway. I'm fighting the wrong one. But he hopes we don't find this stuff out and yield to the Word of God and the Spirit of God, that we just keep fighting each other so we never bear fruit for the kingdom of God. And we're like puppets on a string where he just uses us at his will. And that's not going to happen to us. So anyway, I went through all of that, you know. And she's doing much better. You know, giving her a different antibiotic and all this kind of stuff. Mom, I don't know if you have felt it or not, but for probably, I would say a week or 2 weeks, every time I get around you, I feel something. Do you feel it? Yeah. Have I done anything to you that's upset you? I didn't think so. Sounds smarter than the devil. Not because of me, but the greater one lives on the inside of me. For a week and a half or 2 weeks, every time I get around her. Now, my mama loves me, and I love my mama. My mama's done absolutely nothing to me in any way, and she just said, shook her head, that I have done nothing to her. But every time I get in her presence, it's like I have to feel guarded. And it's like, I don't want to talk to you right now. Well, it's like there's some kind of underlying tension or something in the atmosphere. It's the best way I can explain it. Is that how it's felt for you? Yeah. You know why? Because it ain't me, and it ain't her, but we got one. The Bible says he is the prince of the power of what? The air. See, words comes out of my mouth, goes through the atmosphere until they hit your ears here and gets down into you. Then you got another filter that they got to filter through. Y'all not saying nothing. Why is that? Why do I feel that with her? Because I'm working on something. We all working on something. Have I told y'all lately my brother's home? Sleeping in his own bed in my mama's house. Yeah. The devil says, not today. I say, you better forget it, buddy. Why? Let a root of bitterness grow up in here. And it's going to choke the word of my brother coming home. And then he will not. Do you understand what I'm telling you? And it is that same thing with whatever you got growing in your heart. So therefore, I don't talk much with her. I seen her down here, what was it, Friday, for just a few minutes, you know, and I got to go. Why? I know me. I know me. I can't hang around and stay around that, because my words just have a tendency anyway not to always come out so graceful. In case y'all ain't noticed, I'm just going to tell y'all now. So then you put me in an atmosphere like that, and I'm already feeling guarded, and I'm already feeling this tension. How many knows that one word, if I allow one word, whether she meant it right, wrong, or not, to come to me, and I accept that, here we go. It don't matter if it's your mama, your daddy, your husband, your wife, your kids. It don't make no difference. And it don't make no difference if they're a Christian or not. And if you yielded, like I said, I probably have yielded more to the devil than anybody in this room. But thank you, Lord, not anymore. I'm growing. I'm coming up. We're all growing, and we're coming up. Well, lo and behold, we get that done about my sister and everything, you know. Well, then, like I said, for a week and a half, probably 2 weeks, every time I get her around my mama, you know, and she's probably thought, well, what is her deal? You know, what's the matter with her? Did I do something to her? That's just what he does. Why am I telling you this? Because you better be aware. I remember one time years and years ago, me and Scotty, everything I would say, it's like he would be against it. Everything he would say, it's like I would be against it. Until one day we're like, hey, I said something. I'm like, hey, what did you just hear me say? Y'all ever had to do that? What? How many know sometimes what I say ain't what you heard? Y'all better come on now. There's been times that there's been things that I said behind the pulpit, and I come down and somebody tell me what I said. No, I didn't say that. Oh, yes, you did. Well, you better go back and read the listen to the tape. You better go to the website. I did not say that. But how many know sometimes through the atmosphere and the devil getting involved, he can cause you to hear something that was not said. The Holy Ghost does the same thing. I can be up here ministering on something, or Scotty or whoever, and the anointing be flowing and you be drawing, and the Holy Ghost can cause you to hear something or give you a revelation to do with what I'm saying, but I didn't say it. The devil does the same thing. Whatever God has, he imitates. So then I got that going on with my mama. Like I said, she's not my problem and I'm not hers. She loves me and I love her, and that's the end of that. Now, maybe we can't spend a lot of time together right now, but this too shall pass. Why? The devil can't keep up an attack like that for long. He ain't got that kind of power. If I won't yield, or if you won't yield, whoever that it is or whatever. Well, then lo and behold, then something happened Tuesday, you know, and to go a few rounds with somebody or whatever, and, you know, I don't let myself get mad or whatever. Do I feel it? Oh, you better believe I feel it. Do I want to come unglued? Oh, you better believe I want to come unglued. I mean, it's just because you feel something don't mean you've sinned, because you've not yielded to it. Jesus felt in himself a lot of things, but the Bible says he never sinned. The Bible says be angry. What's that mean? I feel angry, but I'm not busting up nothing. I'm not yielding to that anger and letting it take me over. So anyway, lo and behold, I had this come up, you know, and all that. Here we go. Then when I got away from that person and I'm sitting there, y'all ever check up on yourself? It's like you're thinking something and you walk in the back door and like, what are you doing thinking that? Well, this is what happened to me after all that happened. I'm sitting there and I'm rehearsing this in my mind because I'm like, what in the world just happened? I don't even know. What happened? Where did this thing go wrong? Y'all ever had that? I don't know what happened. I don't know what was wrong. I don't even know. What in the world? You better believe the devil's involved in those. Now, you've got those where you've got differences of opinion, differences of personalities, difference maybe you said something I didn't like, or you got your natural little fleshly stuff. You know what I mean? All the time. But then you've got those times that the devil gets involved. And those are the times that you are left after this big thing, and you are left with, what just happened? Anyway, I'm sitting out there, and I'm thinking about this. I'm trying to figure out, where did this go wrong? What happened, all this? And all of a sudden, I heard the Lord speak to me in my spirit, and he said, this has come to get a root of bitterness in you. And when he did, it was like, ping, revelation. I said, oh, no, you don't, devil. Because in my mind, when I snuck up on myself, this was my thoughts. I tell you right now, you think you're going to talk to me like that? I am not going to do this, and I'm not going to do that, and you're not. Oh, y'all not saying nothing. I know y'all glow in the dark, so just keep looking at me, okay? We're talking about me today, and maybe it will help you. So we'll just use me, because I don't glow in the dark. So anyway, my thoughts was, when I caught myself, was vengeance. I wasn't thinking the word vengeance, but I could tell through the thoughts that it was vengeance. I'm going to treat you this way because of how you treated me. I said, oh, no, you're not. There is not. Why? You want to get my brother. I know you want to get my brother. You want to get my sister, because I'm believing God for her complete healing. You are that other things. You are not going to get the will and plan of God out of on the inside of me. Absolutely not. I forgive. I walk in the love of God. Lo and behold, if that wasn't good enough, I got me another dose of it. What's the name? I don't know, maybe Wednesday night. I don't know. I can't remember. Like I said, this has been like 3 weeks in one for me. Not counting all this other stuff that I deal with on a daily basis, just natural stuff. Lo and behold, I got me another dose of it. Another night. But I want to show you something. Let's look at Matthew 16 right quick. I'm going to have to hurry. Now, Peter is the one, y'all remember, right, that had the revelation of who Jesus was. Jesus asked him, who do y'all say I am? Well, they say this, that, and another, you know, and then Peter's one of the prophets, and then Peter says, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. By direct revelation from God, he got this, right? Jesus even told him, man didn't give this to you, but my Father, which is in heaven. So here in Matthew 16, now, Jesus is talking to him about he's about to go away and what's happening. 21, from that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go into Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. Then Peter took him. Listen, don't take Jesus nowhere. Let him take you. It says, then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. But he turned, talking about Jesus, and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. He says, thou art a what? Offense to me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. Amplified says this, but Jesus turned away from Peter and said to him, get behind me, Satan, you are in my way, an offense and a hindrance and a snare to me. For you are minding what partakes not of the nature and quality of God, but of men. Now, he's the one who had the revelation of who Jesus is. Then Jesus is telling him what all's going to happen. He rebukes him, and then what happens? Jesus rebukes him. Now, let me just say this. Anyway, I got another dose of it. Don't know how that one started either, and it don't make no difference because nothing's going to come up. You hear what I'm telling you? Not on my part anyway. Now, if it's on the part of the other person, that's something I can't help. And when it was all over and done with, I said, Lord, lay not this to their charge. What do I mean? I was reminded of Stephen. They're stoning him, and he says, Father, forgive them. Don't lay this to their charge. It's the very same thing that Jesus said. And when Stephen said that, guess what? Only place I ever read he stood up is when Stephen said it. Now, if they felt that I did or said something to them, that's on them and they'll have to deal with that. But when I looked in my heart, I can't think of anything that I said or done. Now, could I have maybe done something different? Sure, probably so or whatever. But the thing about it is, I'm not going to let that hinder me. Now, I don't suggest you always do this, and I would not. But something just happened to me, and I know what it was. But anyway, when this person is talking to me, I begin to talk to the devil. And they told me, said, I'm not the devil. I said, I ain't talking to you. I'm talking to the one that's talking to me right now. Because so-and-so loves me. So-and-so cares about me. But devil, you don't, and I know exactly who you are. Now, I don't suggest you always do that. You hear what I'm telling you? Just something happened to me, and it just started coming out. Well, it continues on, you know, or whatever. And I began to tell the Lord. All of a sudden, I was reminded of the scripture. He says, blessed are you. Let's just read it. Which one is that? Let me see here what I got wrote down. Matthew 5. Since we're right here in Matthew. I told y'all we needed mind renewals about trials, right? Remember when we was over there in James? Most of the time, something like what I'm talking about happened, what we do? Lay down and cry. Oh, God, I'm just trying to live for you, God. I don't know why this keeps happening to me. Why not? What you think? You live in a fallen world where the real devil is the prince of the power of the air, and you think he's not going to come after you? We really need mind renewal on this because God ain't raising up no candies. Y'all know what I mean by that, right? And at this church, we are some, listen, God has different offices for different churches, different things for them to do and things like that. But we are not one that's just supposed to be on the sidelines. I'm telling you right now, we are some of the ones that will be and are on the front lines paving the way for the rest of our family and people. Well, you can't lay down and cry when this stuff happens. He says here in Matthew, what did I tell y'all? There it is. Matthew 5 here in, I'm going to start in verse 9 just for time's sake. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for what? Oh, y'all not saying nothing. The lazy hate the diligent. Y'all not saying nothing. The slothful hate the faithful. Why? You show them up. You're not trying to. You're just trying to do the right thing. You're just trying to live for God. See, I always thought about this when I was trying to witness to somebody or something like that. But no, that's not what it says here. Watch this. In the Amplified, it says it this way. It says, blessed, let me get to 9. Blessed, enjoying enviable happiness, spiritually prosperous with life, joy, and satisfaction in God's favor, and maintainers of peace, for they shall be called the sons of God. Blessed and happy and enviably fortunate and spiritually prosperous. That's good stuff, right? In the state in which the born-again child of God enjoys and finds satisfaction in God's favor and salvation. Regardless of his outward conditions are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Watch this. For being and doing right. He goes on and he says, for theirs is the kingdom of God. What's that mean? When I'm reading my Bible, when I'm going to church, when I'm faithfully going to church, it shows up. And those that I used to run with and hang with and go to the lake with, they don't want to be around me no more because they think I'm too good. I don't think I'm too good. It's just I got something better to do. So guess what they do? They mock you. They ridicule you. Oh, and here comes a good one. The Bible says that Satan is the accuser of the brethren, right? When they start calling you out your name, start pointing out all your faults, everything you should have done, could have, would have done, and all that other stuff, guess who's talking to you? You better believe it. Why? It's not the person. So don't get mad and start fighting the person. It's not the person. Fight the real one. Take authority over him. Don't yield to that. Don't start coming back and saying, well, you're this and you're that. Why? Because the first thing my flesh wants to do when you attack me is you're going to get it right back and usually double the way you gave it. Now, that's just my flesh. Anybody can be ugly if they want to. But what's the Lord say? Blessed! Reckon if you're not being persecuted, you're not blessed? Ooh, come on now. See, if we just like the world, I'm not talking about we don't have faults and we're perfect in the flesh, flawless. All of us got issues. All of us got places we could change, grow, develop, different stuff like that. But I'm talking about those that they're dogging you, the enemy's dogging you and persecuting you and coming against you just because you're trying to do right in the Lord. You're trying to do the things that you know he wants you to do. You're doing your best to read your Bible. You're doing your best to go to church. You're doing your best to walk in the love of God when people's doing all manner of things against you. But notice what he says. When they persecute you, when they come against you, not because you are wrong. Y'all hear me? There's some people, they get persecution because they're wrong. They're not trying to do stuff like God says. But when all that comes, he says, you're blessed. And notice what he says to do. I got just a couple of minutes here, and I'm going to have to stop. Y'all remember what verse we was on? 11, wasn't it? He says, blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you. Let me read it in the Amplified. Blessed, happy to be envied, and spiritually prosperous with life, joy, and satisfaction in God's favor and salvation regardless of your outward conditions. Are you when people revile you and persecute you and say all kinds of evil? Don't let be what they say and be true. Then it ain't you're persecuted for trying to do what's right. Right? He says, but say all kinds of evil things against you falsely on my account. Notice, I'm telling you, are you sure James didn't write this? Verse 12. Be glad. Y'all remember James? What? Count it all joy. Woohoo! What's he saying here? Be glad. How many of us do that? somebody dogging you, calling out your name, pointing out all your faults, and you say, "Woo, glory to God." That's exactly what I done. It just sends the devil into a hissy fit. Why? Because I'm blessed. Ain't nothing you can do. If God is for me, who can prevail against me? Right? Nobody. And if you're born again, he's for you. Right? He's with you. He's in you. He fights for you. Let's finish this, and I'm going to have to stop. He says, "Say all kinds of evil things against you falsely on my account. Be glad and supremely joyful." I'm telling you, that eats him slap up. And the thing about it is, when you begin to yield to the Spirit of God and the Word of God on the inside of you, here he comes. Here he comes. So no longer are you going, ha, 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 by faith. You got it on the inside, and it begins to roll out like a river. And the devil can't do nothing with that. He's just got to go on and shut up. Why? I'm not going to knock you in your head. I'm just not going to do it. I'm not going to throw a punch at you like I used to. Y'all not saying nothing? No, absolutely not. And he says there, count it all. Well, that was James, count it all joy. But here he says, be glad and supremely joyful for your reward. I ain't doing this for nothing, baby. You're not doing it for nothing. Vengeance is not yours. He goes on and he says, for your reward in heaven is great, strong, and intense. For in this same way people persecuted the prophets who were before you. I've got to stop because our time is up, and I just want to encourage you this morning. It doesn't matter. Listen, when all hell seems like it's coming against you through circumstances, situations, and people, don't fold. Don't yield. Because like I said, the devil can't keep that up for long. And if you yield the right way, the way God, it takes you to another level. And you'll walk through that door. Does anybody have anything that they'd like to share or comments or anything quickly before?